Channel 2 right. And the beginning of the visit with Buster on Tuesday, the 23rd of May, 72. The beginning on Channel 2 right at the beginning is the short visit with Buster on Tuesday, the 23rd of May, 72. And then Suzanne, she worked through experience with me Thursday, the 25th of May, 72. Suzanne, the rest of it, around 200 to the end, Thursday, the 25th of May, 72.
These off today, they don't bring much money. Except at the jailhouse, they got them old abandoned cars in there.
How much could he get for that? $200?
Yes.
$300?
Nice. Huh. I'm putting a starter on mine this morning. You talking about getting a car you ain't gonna have to work on? I want to see one.
Yes.
I'd like to get one in myself.
Yes.
I put the starter on mine this morning. That's the third starter I put on. I put the fourth starter on this little car out here. Three on it and three on that Plymouth.
Yeah.
And them on that Plymouth, $40 a piece.
Yeah.
Boy, they're high. And, every one of them, the first two, the switch went bad on them, and you can't take them apart. See, now on that old one, you can take them apart. On them tractor products, you can't do it. And that thing says, don't turn the motor over, see?
Yeah.
And that little old Falcon out there just wears them clean out because it has to turn over so much to crank it, see? It just wears them out. Completely.
Darn it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't drink over there?
No, I was kidding.
You know what I could do, Buster?
I just had a cook over there.
I could just let that set up. I could clean it up. Let it sit out there, and they got a nibble on it. I know where there's a pretty good old. Yes.
That's the best thing to do is trade it off.
Yes.
On something while you can get something out of
while
it.
While it's working.
Yeah, go let it sit up and try to set
bag
it.
On it. Yeah. It went through the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I got to do with mine, too. Put that starter on there. I noticed that transmission's trying to leak a little.
Yeah.
On that funnel. That's what I say, anytime you got a little car, you got trouble.
Yes. And it's new the same way.
Huh? Yeah.
New cars are worse than the old ones.
Yeah, they give trouble too. They don't try to fix them where they'll last.
You got to watch out for them.
I know it. There's a girl down here that lives in Tampa, and she drove a car to Atlanta, Georgia, and back. It's one of these little Volvos.
Yes.
And they're supposed to be good.
Yes.
And that car froze up, the motor won't crank, and they people wouldn't make it good, and finally he had a lawsuit with them, and they whenever he ended up, he still lost $300 on the deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's a brand new car. That first trip it made. Yeah. Well, no good at all.
I never heard of it.
Is there any protection in just making little small payments to start with and driving it and paying for the months?
Well, yeah.
If it don't,
yeah, that's a whole lot better than paying cash for one.
Then if it don't pan out, let them have it.
Yeah.
Can you let them have it?
You can let them have it. A lot of times you lose your credit. You lose your credit. But sometimes you turn it back in, I don't think it hurts your credit too much.
Yes, my credit's not a thing to brag about anyhow. Buster, I went to that thing. When's the town meeting? Tonight?
Tonight? I guess on the school business.
Yeah, just the school.
I think it's just the school meeting tonight.
Well, that's not. That won't bother anybody. I was there last Tuesday night. I just accidentally came by Mr. Morgerson's. I hadn't spoken to him for a year.
Hmm.
And he used to be one of my old buddies.
If he didn't speak to him the rest of your life, he'd be well off.
You mean he's as bad as the rest of them?
Yeah. Worse.
As he makes it... well, give me a little notion of what's going on.
Man, I got to go. I got to be in game with that auction. What time is it? It's 11 o'clock now.
You can take 5 minutes and tell me what's
either.
Going on.
Look, I got to go home and dress.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you sometime when you come out of the garage.
Okay.
All right. Because I got to get up there. See, that thing started right at 12 o'clock.
You going to an auction?
Yeah.
They haven't left about here 2-3 months. Several cars and abandoned bicycles and motorcycles and such as that, you know.
Yeah.
And today's the day. So I got to get on up there. I got to shave, too, look at this. Don't look too bad. I can't bear it for that whiskers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can just buy parts and things, or just...
No, they stay the old cars, but you don't get no title to them, but I generally get the old cars got pretty good tires on them, see? And I can use the tires. That's the only thing I can use.
Yeah.
Mr. Morrison said he's going to move from making over. He said he's going down to, English. Somewhere down there, Yankeetown. He's got a little place down there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him up there in a week. He resigned, you know. The council.
Who?
Morrison.
Yes. He said he's gonna move?
Yeah. He'd been talking about something about going down. He wants to go down there, but his wife won't stay and make enough.
Cause her friend's up here.
Yeah, that's right. She can make friends down there.
But he got property down there.
A little bit. Yeah.
Well, now, you know, that's a great surprise to me. A little disappointing. I figured he was on there, and he could keep everything straight, Buster. Because he's a steady fella.
Well, they've been holding a lot of secret meetings, you know, which is against the sunshine law in the state of Florida. And they have them meetings. I don't think he attends them as much as the rest of them does. You know, Gainesville does that, too. They have a little secret meeting there. Try to get things done behind closed doors.
Yeah, but not many people there.
Yeah. They can vote and do as they please, you know.
They figure nobody's going to come around and much. You know, I never go to the those meetings. And that's shameful, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't either.
A fellow ought to go.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a fellow who lives next to us, lives next to where we are, where we have a place in town. And he's the only fella on that street that keeps up with these things. And if he hadn't gone to those councils, that whole street would have been zoned for I don't know what.
You know those...
Rotevin.
What do you call it? Those intensive, you know, a lot of department houses.
Yeah.
And he's just like a watchdog, but he's the one.
He's kept it over on the university side of Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
So far.
Sometime you got to attend those things, like I say, and prevent something from happening for your own protection.
And you say, well, I'm going to move off somewhere else, get out of this, but you'll get into it again.
Yeah. Somewhere else. Well, like you are out here, you have to worry about it.
Hell, Buster, they're threatening to put the 6-lane highway into this land. It's got to go somewhere. It could come right through here.
It did.
No.
Sure.
I know one thing. They tell me that's the biggest mess in the world in Orlando.
Yeah.
Where that Disney World, oh, you know, that traffic jams.
Yeah.
I went down there one day. I didn't even get into town. It's so traffic so heavy. Bumper to bumper. So I just turn around and come back.
Bumper to bumper. All Central Florida is just as one place bad as another almost,
yeah.
I imagine.
I better go. That clock there just easing on around.
Right.
I'm wanting to see about that car. The only way I know to do it is tear it down. I just don't know what that noise is. It sounds like it's in that old power steering. Then again, it sounds like it's inside that motor, don't it? Sounds like it's inside that motor to me. I can't tell if it's that.
I'm not mechanic enough to...
Hey, one thing I could do, get that there, take it up at the garage, and get two or three of them around there that works on cars, you know, and let them listen to it and just kind of analyze that thing, you know.
Yeah.
Diagnose it. That'd be the only way you could do it.
I think it served its purpose. It's put in its time.
That old car's been pretty good, hasn't it?
Yes.
And the most comfortable thing I ever rode in.
Yeah, that old car's been good. Of course, that noise can be taken out of it. That noise can be taken out if you want to drive it some more.
Well, you still got the shackle bolts and everything loose on it.
Yeah.
And all I do is drive it town, you see.
Shoot, that's the way it is. What I do, I get those things up there and swap it off on something good, you know.
Yeah.
Don't even tell them about that noise. Just drive the old thing up there and let them give you what they will on something else, you know.
Well, they won't give you anything. You have to sell it to Patterson. Patterson would buy.
Yeah.
And then he'd take it down and fix it, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Can he fix it?
Your boss can. Yeah, they can fix it. Probably.
You mean they stay at it better than he will?
I know a lot of them they carry around unless they don't never put them back together. At least I'll sit this way, they'll tear it down and see what's wrong with them. A lot of them I know if they don't put them together, get them tore down, they stay down.
Well, you know, I told you, old Aaron over here took down that Barry Motors, where they
Rambler.
Make...
Rambler?
Yes. That old Rambler I had. And he got it. He couldn't get it back together. None of the gauges worked after he put the head back on.
Huh. Those things happen.
Yeah. And you see, that was an old model, and it was simple compared to some of these others. And that's what happened.
Nothing.
Even the gas.
Yeah, you said about that.
I told you about that.
Yeah. That's bad, wasn't it?
Yes. Now, you see, Aaron was a good fella, and he could help you out, but he always got over his head. Now, ain't that possible?
People do that.
He'll take on something where he can't see his way through it.
That's what Jack Harris used to do, and it worked for me. I don't care who come in with a job. Oh, yeah, we can do it. I said, Jack, I said, you better lay off that job. When you get into something you can't tend to, I said, we can't do that. I said, sit on the game room. I bet they're a specialist, you know. And you can get into some bad trouble.
Yeah.
And you don't know what the world's wrong with you. You'll be trying to figure out something, and you know good way you can't do it. You're like overhauling motors, a place like buying plants, you can't overhaul the motor no more. You got to send that thing to Gainesville.
Yeah.
And they don't do too much of it there. They send it to Jacksonville and rebore them blocks and everything. If you don't do it just like it's supposed to be this day and time,
yeah.
You take a little tractor, put a set of rings in it, it's all right.
Yeah.
You take a car like that automobile, you don't put a set of rings in it without grinding down everything in it. Do it right because it drives faster than it used to.
Yeah.
Does Jack know anything about
mechanics? Jack? Yeah. You don't know as much as you think you know, though. Jack really don't know as much as he thinks he does. But I'll say this about him, he ain't scared to jump on it.
He's not scared.
No, sir, he'll jump on it, whether he can fix it or not. Jack can try.
But he hadn't jumped on it a long time.
No.
Is he ever going to straighten out?
I don't know. He's kind of halfway straightened out.
But you said that many a time about him.
Jumping on something?
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's going to straighten out. He's gone.
Yeah.
His plumbing was rusted. And then he gets started again.
Yeah. But I say he ain't as bad as he used to be.
What?
He's not as bad as he used to be.
What do you mean,
he's getting all a little better than he used to.
Yeah.
don't drink as much as I used to, you know.
What do you mean, 6 months ago?
No, say 2 years ago.
Oh.
Well, that, you don't have food up there on Saturday. He let me know. He don't have fuel with that drunk anymore.
Just drink beer?
Just drink a little beer. Also, right?
Well, he can't have drunk on beer. He just...
Yeah, he can, too.
On
he
beer?
Can?
Yeah. Yeah, I should get drunk on beer. Cut alcohol, eh?
Well, it used to be the girl who worked down there would give him extra on his scoops, because she knew him.
Yes. And he,
he had a hard time eating it because of his teeth, you know.
He went along with her too, didn't he?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. I
don't know if he knew or not. I bet he did.
They were spoiling him. Well, they ought to, aren't they?
Because those. He buys enough for them. Some ice cream, you know.
They ought not to try to make money off Mr. Weaver. Faye? Suzanne says she has been flat.
That's a word for it.
She's had a flat tire.
Totally deflated.
Now, how long has that been?
Since I got home Sunday.
After Sunday?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what happened. You see, I got home Sunday afternoon. And I decided, well, I've done enough work today. I won't do anything this evening. And I didn't. On Monday morning I got up and I couldn't do anything Monday. And I couldn't do anything Tuesday. And I finally got around to experience and started sort of fiddling with that. That's the only thing I've done since Sunday. I think it's because I didn't do anything Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, after all this big time over here, she just went flat. Well, you had Jim on your mind and that thesis and all, didn't you?
Well, that didn't do much. I wasn't really worried about it because I've never heard anybody failing an oral exam. I can't imagine it happening. I guess it has. But he wasn't real worried about it. He was all excited about, he wants to buy a horse trailer. So, about every other day for the past week or so, he's been saying, let's go down to Ocala, look at the horse trailer. Not only wants to buy a horse trailer, he's got all sorts of good reasons for it. Not only that, but he wants to buy a horse down here so we can take it up to Georgia so Bubba won't be lonely. Oh no. So we've been making periodic trips back and forth out to the Stockman Supply looking for notices. And of course, once we get there, you spend an hour in there looking at bridles and saddles. And
hour goes fast.
Yeah.
Well, there's a trailer place out there.
I know, we went there.
That's where Morton Marvin bought his.
Well, they want $780 for a new one, economy model. You see, it's like the pickup truck and the tractor. He's just dying to have a horse trailer. I think Jim would be happy if he could just be a farmer. I really do.
do like Montaigne and retire to his estate, country mm-hmm. place.
And the pieces didn't have too much. You know, of course, when he got home yesterday, that was just a sad occasion. And he put all four copies of his thesis down on the bed, and he said they had about a million corrections to make in it. So I started looking through them to see what they were. He walked out of the room and he came back and then he says, "You don't have to look at those. I told you I had corrections to make." And off he went to his bedroom and shut the door and started typing. I know that's a bad sign when he shuts the door and starts typing. He said, "You gonna fix me lunch?" I said, "Yeah, I guess I will." Oh, took him about 3 hours to recover.
So it takes a while to.
It does.
Recover.
Like I said, it just the feeling he had his back to the wall, and that just threw him for a loop because it's been a while.
Jim doesn't like to sit up there and have people bombard him with questions, say.
No. Who was it? I think the questions, he might have managed that all right if they hadn't had so many corrections to make on his thesis. Because he's worked so long on that stupid thing. And every time he gives it to Dr. Kaufman, his chairman, Kaufman sends it back with, you know, all sorts of red marks. And Jim's made the corrections. And he thinks, well, he's seen it 5 times now. Surely he's caught them all, you know. So he went ahead and had the typist type it. And he typed out the final draft after he got back in the coffin. I said, "Jim, don't you think maybe you ought to take it back to him?" Jim said, "No, it's okay." So he took it to the typist. And she typed it up, and he Xeroxed the copy, 3 copies. And now he finally he's got about half a dozen pages that need to be redone or have corrections made on them. And of course, the typist now is off something else. So he's not really sure if. And it has to be her typewriter because our type isn't the same size. He wasn't too happy yesterday.
Half a dozen pages doesn't sound too bad.
If you had the typewriter.
Yeah, if you had the typewriter and the time.
And the typist is on something else.
We got over it because that's yesterday. What did we do yesterday? We went out to the stockyard yesterday. Yeah, he wanted to see how they ran the canopy, you know. And we met that young fella that used to be out at the stable, the one that wanted just one spur because he gets off on a certain side of the horse. And he's down there shooting cattle through this thing. Turned out he's gotten married. He's 19, I guess now. He's gotten married. He's got a trailer set up on his daddy's farm. He works at the stockyard here and down in Ocala, too. He's bought himself a new pickup, and he's all set to go.
He's living.
Yeah.
Already has payments, doesn't he?
Yeah. And his wife works, but they're both real. 18 and older. So when we got back from the stockyard, Jim was okay. It dawned on him that he as much as had his master's degree, and he was through with the damn thing. Finally, after 2 years.
But now out here, you see, you had control of the experience out here. You see, you could see what went on through Wade. So it's not a raw experience any longer. It's something that.
Now, out here, it never seems raw. And I guess in town, it's so scattered all the time. Doesn't seem to be any way I can take hold, or even want to. But out here, it doesn't seem the same thing. And of course, getting it from Wade, that's his report, which is sort of once removed, but I've seen enough of Mr. Weaver and just a little of Buster to be able to see what he was saying.
Yeah, you have to have a toehold before I think, you know, I've listened to Cole, though. I can listen to somebody else as well, people I've never seen. All the people Ms. Kidd had talked about, I've never seen. Mr. Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Dance, what do you see? Governor. That remark was seen at first, you see, where a man comes up to Frank's funeral. He lost his sight. He wants to try and see if he can see Mr. Frank once more.
Well, with Wade's report, you wouldn't either, though it... Because you can pick up... I didn't know what they meant when they were talking about that road, but just from the talk, I know now where they're talking about it. But that in itself, just the details of the thing... Blakely and Mr. Morgan says, come out, even if the road doesn't. You know what they're doing,
yeah.
Anyway. That's cool.
Well, now, one thing you see that we didn't talk about that for Sunday. We didn't talk about that until stopped by the office on Monday. That the thing that Wade has done, the sustained exposure.
Mm-hmm. Living right, isn't it?
Well, that's right, saddening thing from either. And it's so general, you know. But people are locked into something, can't get out. Those chaps can't get off the campus.
I can get off the campus, but it's just once or twice a week. Doesn't work too well. Or, I mean, it'll do, but...
Well,
You see, you know, when this Georgia thing first came up, when was it? A year before last? Yeah. I guess the end of 2 summers ago. You'd think, well, gee, that'd be... You'd be living right in it then, or you could be, but I could see what happened. That'd be just as isolated.
But you didn't see it for a long time.
No.
I remember when it came out.
Yeah.
And that was right distressing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'd call that a sort of... You see, I'm pretty well hardened at this point. I get up, you know, feeling sorry for myself or not. But disappointments, I just stay on the strike. But that's a kind of a disappointment. You think of all this adventure, and then they'll have someone trained, you see, like Suzanne, to be the to celebrate it. And then you see it.
You're not sure you want them as
coming to dinner neighbors.
Yeah. They're cutting people out. So there won't be any ads, then, sure. There'll just be an extension of your teeth.
Yeah, with the... See, they, I think, like I say, having that tractor, riding around on the tractor, you know, they would enjoy it. That would be their idea of it. You wouldn't be interested in your neighbors. Now, Nell would be, in a sense, of the old-timey stories they could tell.
Yeah.
But she's a little easier going than you are.
Seems just ready-made, something ready-made turns out to lock in again.
Me and the New Englanders had it right, had all their houses in town, and would go out to their farms.
Yeah, well, you see, but the idea now is to be locked in, is to. And the only relief, as I see it and have said so much, is scholarly. You have to see what shape you're in, and then make a move yourself. You got to create the occasion.
As you see, so many people and I have this tendency, like Jim, I can use Jim. He's perfectly happy being isolated. Just, you know, it doesn't bother him. I mean, he feels no need to create occasions at all.
Or make anything happen.
Yeah, make anything happen.
Well, you've got to be scholarly about it. Scholarly, in order to see it even in that way, and that's the thing. So you see, what do they do? You've got a whole abstract approach. You can't take an experience into the writers. You got to leave the people out and just make it abstract, because they haven't had the experience.
Yet they feel like they're dealing with experience. I mean, that's a lot of the several of the stories be what, you know, are drawn from their own experience. But it's like they're more interested in. And what they've learned from that experience. Well, I don't know, you see. He's Kirkpatrick's turn, the vision of the world that it gives him. And the experience is kind of the sort of secondary.
Well, you see, what the sort of thing we do, it's not the raw experience of what I see, but it's what someone else reports that they have seen, and it's more mature. Now on using it, Suzanne, on using the experience. You've been tied down so much this time. You haven't had a chance much to clear your mind for that, have you?
No, it didn't help. I keep telling myself, you know, if I had everything all cleared off, I could really use some of this stuff. And like, the more I think about it, the more I think that's just sort of something I hold out in front of me. I don't know if I would or not. I just, I really don't.
Well, you don't approach it, you know, you don't look at it like that. You just get your typewriter out and start using it. Have a little light, you see, just do it. You know how to look up. Keep that. Faye, little Faye, has no sense of form. None whatsoever. And she's perceptive. And she reads things and gets them straight. But that, she doesn't have. And I've not seen, you see, I've not worked with people where they're far enough along where I could see that. But I haven't found it.
Not structure in Rick at all, of course. So what is it in Rick that makes a little gem-like quality?
I don't know, but every little thing he does is a gem.
It's a gem.
Susan, I haven't passed those on to Suzanne. She's had enough, you know.
Yeah.
About it.
I don't know what, I haven't seen Rick's, but I know, there's some things and some that they just have a little extra spark to them. Like most of everything I've done is pretty dry, it seems to me. As far as just, you know, sort of mechanical in a lot of ways.
I don't find that at all. You don't do that.
I guess talking through his essays makes me feel mechanical sometimes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it takes it out of it. No, it does. It flattens me. I can't do anything. Just reading an essay doesn't do you pretty good. You get halfway through, you don't know how you start it.
That's what I say. Well, I get to the end of, even after I work through one of them, I get to the end of the thing. If I'd go back and say where it started, couldn't anymore do it. I could now if you're going through it for the third time.
But now, the most most help you've had is looking at the writers again this term.
I think so. Because I see more clearly how, you know, what they do with what they read, and how little chance they actually have, or it's not a matter of ability so much. Well, sometimes that, but they just don't have a chance or the desire to work into something. You know, just, as you say, pursue a thought. They come down through that paper, that last critical paper, with absolutely no idea what they could write on. Just absolutely none.
But I was thinking about you, your view of the writers. Now that's fine.
Oh, yeah, that. They just, it all just came alive again, it seemed like. I had never read it before, and it's always that sort of, I don't know, feeling of discovery. I get that, and all of a sudden I understand. It's really nice.
See connections you didn't see
yeah,
before.
Yeah, see a lot of things I didn't see before.
Well, another thing, you can see a little more leisure. That is, your mind not as pushed as it is when you've taken a lot of other courses.
Yeah. I could use more leisure to work with them, but it's right. That's why I didn't take the cards class. Because I knew if I had to struggle with papers for him, I wouldn't get anywhere with anything.
Yeah. Well, now you read some on all of them.
Yeah.
Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Read what's his name? Van Dorn. A little bit of say. Pardon me. And I read some of Allen's on Whitman, but I found that pretty hard.
Well, you start the wrong place. You ought to start up around 1855, huh?
That's where I started. Right, yeah. Where he's getting ready to write Leaves of Grass.
Yeah. Well, now, I haven't worked through that. I just never read it. But it seems to me like his picture of Whitman as he...
Yeah, the newspapers and then
goes along in those new editions of Leaves of Grass. Is pretty rich.
Maybe I didn't get that far. I didn't read the whole lot of that one.
You got the wrong part.
Okay, I had the feeling I had the wrong book.
That's a Brooklyn Eagle thing, you see. You don't catch that. You can do it, but what you want is to... I think it's just nice and fun.
Well, it was Candy Thoreau. Now, Emerson, I didn't read much on him.
What would you read?
Yeah. And Melville, I did a lot of reading on him about a year or so ago. I wrote that other paper on Whitman and Melville and their war poetry. I read book after book on Melville. Those kind of books where they kind of look at all of his writing.
Yeah, you still don't know anything about Melville.
Not too much.
What do you know about him?
What I know about him? Well, I know it mostly from Walter Herbert's son. I mean, that's what stuck in my mind.
Oh, really?
The part about his father being financially successful and basing all his saying that, you know, it's Providence that has given me this good fortune, and wham, he loses all his money and kind of leaves him up a creek because Providence suddenly has withdrawn his good fortune. And Melville just sort of had to make a living for himself. He taught school for a while, and then he shipped out and jump ship.
He didn't do much on the ships.
No, he didn't stick it out.
How long did it stay?
I think just long enough to get out to the islands, and then he got off. Yeah. He didn't like the captain. And then he got picked up again later by another ship.
Was that the only shipping he did?
I think the voyage out and the voyage back in.
That's all?
I think. And out of that he got four of the adventure type books, and then Moby Dick.
So that.
And the way most of the biographers see it, he was so unsuccessful, you know, as far as, you know, after he left off writing adventures and got on with Marty and Moby Dick and all, people didn't like those. And he just began sort of a long struggle to make a living for his family and his writing. It just didn't work.
What did he do?
Yeah, well, didn't he get a clerkship or something?
I thought so.
Mm-hmm.
I thought so.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's that old hope, you know, if you get a steady job, you can ride on the side.
Yeah.
Often tried it.
Yeah, that's, it can't be very steady.
If you had a job where you didn't have to deal with any people, you know, during the day, you'd be okay when you got home at night. No, And Hawthorne, I didn't hear anything on him. Okay. I know absolutely nothing about Hawthorne, if I'm a single.
Well, you had all those little articles in the Northern Edition.
Oh, yeah, those.
They help,
yeah.
Don't they?
Uh-huh. They're nice. They give sort of what he was doing at the time and right before and some things about him.
Didn't you read the tales with somebody?
No.
You never read the tales? Yeah.
I've had your course and Picard's course and Twain and James and Cranny.
Really?
And a couple of, one poetry course. Just five. I'm sorry.
I'm surprised that he would have a Twain.
Picard? He spent 2 hours on it. we read Huckleberry Finn, but we didn't really talk about it at all. And nobody did any work on Twain. In fact, it was sort of understood in the class that you weren't supposed to write a paper on Twain. He won one on James and one on Crane, and one on Emily Dickinson. Much
more. Yeah. Well, now, did you learn something about Emily Dickinson?
If I can think back that far.
That you didn't know in Anderson?
No. In fact, he advised us to read Anderson's book. And he said he put his own book on reserve and some others too. And the same method, we were to take one poem and just work through it and present it to the class and then do our paper on it.
Was it bibliography?
Yeah. So I did some reading. They all... They all seem to, break up in those same categories as they work through the poems, as Anderson does. And of course they spend the most time usually on the life and the immortality and those aspects. And Picard spent quite a bit of time on the love.
Suzanne, why don't you, you can't do the sustained exposure yourself. Why don't you work with Wade a little bit? And report on his reporting. I'm not suggesting it. I'm just talking to you. He can't handle the experiences like you can. All the ideas, you see. But you can listen to them, and especially if you tape some of it. Not that you don't have to tape at all, actually. You could handle that. Of course, we got our hands full. Now, we got to go ahead and write up something.
I was wondering if that would work out.
I can't handle very much at a time. I hate to say it, but I really can. If I get more about three or four things, then I can't do any of them.
Yeah.
I just go all the pieces on.
So do I. Hey, I feel like somebody's on my heel. Let me tell you, we can sort of outline it, what we're going to put out. Because everything I know.
That probably helps them.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have to stay with it necessarily, but just try to get something to work with. We got all those essays. What are we going to do with them? I said, we got all those essays now. What are we going to do with them?
Yes, we got to make some money. The trouble with the experience thing, say, Emerson talks about it, but he never faces it. He never has any. Now, so he's like Stoffer, the future shock.
Yeah. It's not even that he doesn't have any himself. I mean, that in a way, though it's nice to do the things that you hear people talk about, that's not absolutely necessary. But he doesn't even know how to get to what they're talking about, their experience.
Yeah. And Emily Dickinson is the first one. I don't think Whitman does in our sense, but Emily Dickinson does, right, deliberately. She can make a statement and then leave it and go ahead and watch the robin in the garden. Well, you say that's not an experience, that's a symbol, you see. Well, that's something else. But it's perfectly visible robin, you see. And it's not worked out in intellectual terms. It just flies away, you see. But now, in her, of course, the experience is sustained, so the first day you actually get is twain.
And how about me, though? Fishman.
Well, yeah. Yes, you could. Yeah. Yeah. He fumbles a good bit. He fumbles with an idea, and Twain has no idea.
Yeah, that's what DeVoto was saying.
And you see, the one trouble is with Emerson is, you see, that he writes about experience, but doesn't have any. And the scholars write about Emerson, and they haven't had any experience either. And they don't know how to handle it, and more than Emerson knows. And the learned editors. And I don't see how you write a book, as we write, without saying that in one way or another.
That's the purpose of the book, I believe.
I believe.
It needs to be said.
Well, you bring up the notes, the news notes, archetype.
Yeah. There's all sorts of things in the news. Yeah. We use weights. The sort of, you know, there he is, he's right in the middle of it, and he can still look.
Yeah.
He's not trying to be scholarly, but he looks. He can see as much or more than any scholar who would deliberately go out to study the town structure and mechanism.
What I would like to see sometimes is somebody like Willis relating an experience. And then somebody like some of our erudite friends relating an experience on tape. Just, I don't think we could stand it.
I lived in Alton the other day. It was some of his experiences in Eastern Europe.
Well, Mrs. Herbert, I really liked her. I think she's the sort of person she can walk into a room and all of a sudden everybody's just a little glad, a bit happier she did. At that time she's out here, you're putting fertilizer out. They'd gone into town. And she came out and sat on the bench for about half an hour. Related one thing after another. I got so sick. I got sitting there and I got wondering, well, when's Guy going to get up?
I know what you mean. She's my best friend.
How long can you take it? I didn't last too long.
About 30 minutes. I think she got up first, though.
You get her on something like when we first came down here on the education.
Sputnik.
Yeah. You know, she's just magnificent.
Oh, yes.
She can see a thing through. She can face it real time.
Oh, yes.
She can be as clear as she can be.
Oh, yes.
But just give her... we have a little sign between us. She said, say, Now, when I get off the track, you pull my skirt. So I yank the skirt. At a tea party or anywhere else, I'm always yanking Jean's skirt.
Can you sound good-natured in a book?
No.
Oh. That might be a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah. If you sound good-natured, you don't sound as intelligent as it probably should be.
Well, you see, you can't hear the voice in the book.
Yeah.
And they'll read it like the readers I did. Or Shakespeare. I think they read it everything I like, you see. I think Swift and Shakespeare and Ben Dunstan are all sound like it.
Well, I tell you, Monday night when I was in class, I got there a little late. And I sat there for an hour and a half. And I got so bored. Because they all talk like I do. And they all read like I do. It's that hurry, kind of rush through it, just get it read, get it out kind of thing. And all fumbled and hemmed and hawed and and ooh. I couldn't stand it. I left at the break, but I had to go meet my husband.
My, Suzanne, you're really weakening it. That's, look at that. You see what happened to you?
Yeah.
It's the same as the freshman and sophomores.
Yeah.
Suzanne got to the eighth week and she couldn't make it to the ninth. And she got the tenth coming up.
That's right.
Now we're still on Whitman. We got another week of Whitman. Well, it was on Whitman last night.
Oh, yes. Another week of Whitman.
Another 3 hours of Whitman. Solid.
But you can't make something happen yourself. What'd you pick up? Nothing?
Monday night? Absolutely nothing. Well, a song of myself. But they were going to start on a poem called The Sleepers in that first edition.
And you don't know what they found. Let me tell you.
Just the thing I could Darren.
Suzanne, you've got to brace up.
Yeah, I know.
Because I have never heard anybody read a Whitman poem. It's all their monologue. Just my own reading, you see, where I am. Now, I can make it through. I can make it up to the, you know, some of the bigger poems. But those bigger poems elude me. I'm actually not interested in them.
Well, they really can get boring just in themselves. Just the poem itself can be, Whitman can be awfully boring.
Yeah. Yes, when you're not following. Well, now, you better get one of those good ones. And don't get a song myself. I can handle that. Well, you can see how they misread it if you want to.
Well, they've done that. I've got the notes on that. I just saved your song of myself.
Well, what is that? What's their biggest offense? Is it the transparent world and that too?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is that? It's the search for self. Self is a separate entity all by itself, you know. It sort of lives in your body, you know. And once you find it, then you can have unity with the entire universe.
Yes, and they pointed that out and got past it.
Yeah. And the mystic moments where this union, recognition of self occurs.
Yes.
And he pointed out.
You got to the passages.
Yeah.
They're marked.
Uh-huh. I don't have them with me today, but I got them.
Suzanne just goes around like her. She just don't know where she's gone until somebody stops and tells her.
Well, if you had to sit there and listen to
it. That's right.
What do you think he's got you for?
It's like that curriculum committee, you see. Those fellows don't know what's going on. They're wore out just sitting there listening to people.
Well, that got me so absolutely tickled just to death. I sat there and I started giggling. I had to doodle on my paper. It got to a part in Song of Myself where is it? Yeah. Do you think you know how to read poems? He says, I'll show you how to read poems. Come with me and I'll show you. And I think it was right there. Somewhere it says, in that part where he says, basically, now go and do it yourself. And Dr. Picard says, when I get to this, I feel like, well, maybe I ought to just quit. He says it's kind of embarrassing to go on and sit here and analyze his poem. But we went on and analyzed the poem anyway.
Well, let me see it. Well, that's nice. Well, now you bring those next time I see you.
Okay.
And let's see, what else you got? Let's see, what all were you going to get? You
well, I was going to get that business about Melvin Hoffman. From the car. Remember it was just changing, you know, sort of what he was planning to do. And I was going to get Carol's thesis. And I got to write Barbara again because I think she's probably forgotten. She was going to send me the dissertation. I'm fine. I think I'll write.
Yeah. Well, we're still not sure what he used. I saw him myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The poet.
Yeah. I would
pick up two passages.
Yeah, that's. I was working with that film, and it looks more to me, and it may be this way now, that he picks up phrases and all just sort of looks at them the way he wants to look at them. I mean, he doesn't carry the thought through the way Emerson does.
Well, it's my like this. Almost everything he picks up, he carries it farther than him.
Yeah, I would mean he doesn't go into the abstractions that Emerson goes into.
It's a little bit more, kinda.
Yeah. And I could go through and just point out the parts I think that people would see correspondence between Whitman and Emerson. But I was going to ask Picard about that too. I haven't seen him last week. I didn't buy his.
You're too busy, I guess.
Well, they having a lot of oral exams and this doctors lately. And meetings.
I think he's on the program.
One of my students came up and I can't tell when they're just giving me a big song and dance and when the problem is real. I think it's real. She redid a paper. Her first one, I told you, was all about how horrible her childhood was, and she met this boy, and he's the one who makes her a person. And it's this long, long thing. I guess it's about 15 pages written out. And then she did another one that is real nice. Just very clear, and she's talking about a family reunion, but she made the people, weren't the same, but she made them visible, you know, these little glimpses. And now she came to class and she did the reading and she...